So now we're going to be speaking to the African correspondent for The Daily Show. If you don't know who he is, take a listen.
I know you.
No. Most of the time someone says that you owe them money, so no.
Your name, please.
Loyiso Madinga.
What are you doing for us today?
I'm doing stand-up. I'm a stand-up comedian.
Go ahead.
Okay, cool. Good to be here with you all. I'm a big fan of interracial dating. Big fan of interracial dating. So, what I've found with interracial dating is, right, when a white guy dates a black girl, he goes for top notch. He goes for the black girl so hard, black guys are like, ah, oh, you got a good one. When a black guy dates a white girl, it's like we're taking the ugly ones off your hands.
What do you say to that thing, though?
It's like black guys just go up to a group of white people and go, hey, are you guys gonna, no? Okay, cool. It's not easy starting an interracial relationship. Because what I found in this country is, if you're a person of color, it's hard to hit on a white girl if you have an accent. Ma'am, over there, what's your name? Jane. This proves that she's white. If you're a person of color, you can't just go up to Jade on some... Hello, nice. Baby, I love you. You know, you hit me ding-dong. Because all Jane is thinking is, oh my God, I'm being mugged. This is so wrong. You can't even go up to Jane on some, hey, you want hot thing, eh? It's like, hot, hot, hot. Why don't you give me your number? Because all she's thinking is, oh my gosh, that is the silliest accent I've ever heard in my life. You guys are great. Thank you so much. You guys are such a lovely lady.
Woo! He's in studio. Loyiso Madinga, everybody. Comedian of comedians.
That is a very old clip.
I must say, have you changed? As in, you've declined.
It's better now, hopefully. let's pray.
You know,
it's
that
better
conversation about interracial relationships? We've spoken about it on my show so many times. Mm. And we had this one guy who called and he said, you know what my dream is? I was like, what's your dream? He's like, I want to date an Indian girl. I was like, okay. He's like, but not anyone, the ones from Lens. A milky one, like Miss South Africa.
A milky one.
Like from Miss South Africa.
I want an Indian dipped in a bath of milk.
That's what he said.
I want long life milk Indians.
And I thought to myself, isn't it hilarious, though, because probably with interracial dating, that the argument is that our standards are different. You know, that they'll say, ah, when the white girls choose the black men, they go for the ugly ones. Because I see some of the black men, some of the white people in my life are dating, and I'm like, girl, I wouldn't go there.
That's actually beautiful, because you haven't been told what is beautiful in that other race. So you just see what you see, and you're like, ah, but I like that.
No, but you
and
see,
then everyone else is like, yeah, no, take it. Take it. I mean, we didn't want
you
it.
You can have it.
Obviously, have that one.
No, but you see,
he has two brothers. Take them too.
All my black female friends agree they would go for George Clooney.
But that's a good-looking man, though.
Bruh, he's like universally.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Universally hot.
Even me, I'm like, yo, he hot, Lantuana.
No,
that guy. No, he hot, like, kaka.
All right, so who are you? Like, firstly, you're getting some fancy job that we're going to be talking about. But who is this guy? Like, who is he?
I'm a guy who's currently getting his...
Previously unemployed.
Yeah, highly unemployed. No, it's been a great journey, man. I started this 5 years, almost 6 years ago, comedy. It's been great. This is just the biggest thing that's happened to my career so far. Just coming from the Eastern Cape, rural areas.
Old Khosa were like, yes,
it was all a dream. I used to read Bona magazine.
So the conversation we're having early on the show is who should play Brenda Fassie. And people brought up so many names.
Man, the only true person in God Rest Her Soul was Lebo.
That's what a caller said. They said Lebo should have played Brenda. But, you know, we're not going to try the hologram thing. It didn't work out the first time. So give me an actress, local or international, that would play Brenda Fassie.
It has to be local. Can't be. There's an essence that no one else could get. Maybe, what's her name? Singer actress.
Where did she act? Did she play Lele D?
No. But
Lele D's character in Sarafina on stage. Is that her?
She could have played her in her young days. She could have played. Yeah, she could have. I think she could have played her. But I'm thinking, man, she's crazy.
Everybody's saying Brendan.
One of these yellow bones everyone loves.
Oh my God.
Kumalo.
Not Kaylee. Kaylee's trust not me. Like an original yellow bone though.
Yeah, but I mean, come on.
She's current.
Some of these people we see in Hollywood are not original pouty lips. They are not original
okay,
booties.
Okay, so for you, Kelly Kumalo.
Yeah.
I think she's definitely got the vocals to pull
it off. I think she's got the vocals
off.
To pull off, so she's we don't have to redo it. She's got that energy, that real. So I think Kaylee could pull it off.
Who do we need to do a movie about? Like a dope biopic.
You know what movie? No, I'm going to get too political now.
Tell me. Put it out there.
I want to see a movie about an MK member.
Who?
I don't know who.
I feel like you've got
anyone
a favorite
with a great
one.
Story. Because I feel like their stories don't get told enough. And I think those guys have got stories from the border to Congo to being here to going overseas. I think you could tell the most epic South African story from an MK member's. Because we always
I'm voting Hugh Masekela. I feel like you're going to be casting Miles Davis, Louis Armstrong.
Have you read the book, though?
Still Grazing.
Yes.
Bruh.
What are you going to cut out of that amazing story? No, it's going to be a 7-hour movie. Who's going to watch
it? Trilogy.
Lord of the Rings essay stuff.
Yes. Okay, so Comedy Central. Everybody, I'm sure, when Trevor Noah went phoning, was like, I need a job. So you were there saying, put me.
It was so crazy. The day he got the show, we were writing on another satirical show, LNN.
Yes.
And we're in that room, and Kagiso, who's also directing this stuff, was like, hey, Trevor got the show. And our whole perspective of what is possible shifted. I remember thinking to myself, well, I guess I wasn't dreaming big enough. I thought I had a big dream, and my perspective absolutely changed. And I couldn't have even dreamed of this opportunity. But it seems to be, SA is almost like a long time coming for world exposure. Africa's a long time coming for world exposure.
I think world exposure in this positive light, because we've been having world exposure.
I mean, Kwashioka's been getting world exposure. Now our comedy, our music and everything, and it's just been a matter of who's going to create the platforms for us. So big ups to Trevor, big ups to Comedy Central for trusting us, because what we've shot now is a pilot. They're testing through us, and so they didn't go, let's test with Britain because, you know, at least, you know, they've got the industry, they've got the everything.
They've got the dry humor.
So they went, no, let's do it in South Africa because Africa's rich with talent. And they know that they could pull it off by doing a chair, which is testament to the industry that people have been grinding for years on here. I mean, like when Kagiso and them were starting and Trevor and them, there was no industry. Those guys were doing one gig a month.
Comedians are everywhere. I saw Skumba tweeting or Instagramming a venue that's like 8,500 people that he was filling up. Loyuso's gigging in Australia. He's gigging everywhere.
Robbie's about to hit a tour in the world. Tatsun Gonzo's about to hit a tour in the world. SA comedy is on the up and up, and it's great.
You just mentioned my comedian crush, though.
I know it's going to be Tatsun Gonzo.
Of course, because he sings and plays and hello.
I hope he's not listening. He doesn't need a bigger head.
I will message him and be like, please listen to this podcast. Call me.
For a duet.
All right, so.
And when I mean duet, I mean to do it.
Okay, I wasn't convinced you're funny till this moment. Okay, so we better phone Tets. I think we must phone.
Oh, no.
Okay, so I'm quite excited because we're adding a different flavor to the show. But when they say African correspondent, I mean, are you going to be covering all African countries, all issues that are happening in Africa, including the African countries that act like they don't belong on this continent?
Like,
and we know them.
So yeah, South Africa. This is a pilot, and we're starting off small. We're starting off here at home. Obviously, we've got big dreams. as the South African contingent. And I know the guys overseas, they would, I mean, like this to work. It only adds more to the show. So if this goes well, I would love
Please, can you stop saying if? Can you say when it goes well?
When this goes well.
Thank you.
And I am a millionaire.
You better answer my calls.
I think it just makes sense. Satire is a very important way of communicating what's happening in a very digestible way for people, and to get certain types of voices out there, and especially here in SA, it's so important that we have comedians have platforms like this, because my theory in life is your country's only doing well if your comedians can still do what they can do.
Well, this is the question that I was going to ask is, do you think that our comedy is still light on our politicians? Because I find that overseas, they can be ruthless.
People come here
ruthless?
And people are like, wow, you guys really go in on your politicians.
No, we are ruthless.
We really believe in freedom of speech.
Yes.
No, we truly believe in it. And we're uncensored. So big ups to the politicians. They take it because, you know, they understand that it's one thing that we really fought for was, you know, being able to say what you want to say need to say, really, in this country. So I think we're harder than the Americans, believe it or not, who seem to be like in the forefront of satire.
Yes.
No, we go in for the jugular.
Do you think, and I feel like I can answer myself, but with the evolution of Black Twitter, I mean, have you had to raise the bar as comedians because South Africans in general are just so flippin' funny?
Oh, most definitely.
I mean, when I'm feeling down, I hardly turn on my TV. I turn on Twitter and I can watch a TV show.
I can believe that.
Like, there are episodes of Date My Family I've never seen, but I know what happened. I saw them through Our Perfect Wedding.
Because that for me has been a blessing in a way, to go, funny is not enough, because we see everybody's funny.
Yes.
Everybody. Like, I get on and I see things. I was so jealous of someone else's
tweet.
I was just like, I wish I could call that person to tell them to remove it, and then I'll buy that joke from them.
And then put it on.
And, oh my gosh, it's so good. So it's making us to go, when something happens, this is what the world has said. So what are you going to say that's fresh and that's smarter and that's just way better than that? So it definitely has elevated our game, which is a good thing.
I think it's elevated your game, but also how we just communicate with each other. Mm. I mean, I talk to my mom and say, Isa Noma, Isa No. I only saw those things online. You know, I Isa talk to Noma. Isa No. You know, she'll be like, what do you think of this dress? I'm like, Isa No. No. She knows exactly what I'm
That's
saying.
That's how we communicate. Like, Black Twitter doesn't take away from us. It adds to it. Because Black Twitter creates lexicons for us to use now on stage, where we go, this is how people are talking.
Yeah.
This is what people are talking about. So it helps direct us in what's relevant. And so getting to do this for Comedy Central on an international level means South Africa can start creating stuff where the world starts adopting
and
it.
And you know you can't embarrass us out there, like, please.
No, I wouldn't be here if it was... If I had embarrassed us, I would have avoided all the interviews. I would have been like, you know, guys, let's not talk about it. Let's pretend it never happened.
So we all know someone like Trevor Noah's story very well now. Mm. Even before Born a Crime, he would use his story on stage, which is what a lot of comedians do, is they just tell what's
talk
true.
About what you know, yeah.
Talk about what you know. What are the three uniquely interesting, different things about your story? That like make your story we must put you out there. Just make you different. And what makes your story hilariously funny, because it was so sad at the time?
Oh my gosh. People don't know the struggle of the early adopter Black kids in Model C schools.
Please tell me about adopter Black kids.
I was like, rural.
Yes.
Rural Eastern Cape, but I went to a Model C school. Mm-hmm. Do you know when things are so different? You can't even open your lunchbox at the same time with the other kids because they got the compartmentalized lunchboxes.
And fancy things.
Like, your lunch comes with dessert. A dessert, a whole dessert.
And we had to wait
and
till
you
Sunday
had homemade
for
bread with rama and peanut butter.
Yes.
And that peanut butter is strangling your neck. It's got you in a chokehold. So there were so many dynamics in being the only black kid in a class, you know, and people think that you were being fancy and you're like, no, that was hard. That was hard to be the only black kid in the class and no one understands what you're talking about sometimes. Or sometimes you know, we joke about things like kids going, you know, the white kids go on holiday, the black kids go home.
Bruh.
You know what I mean? Those kind of things.
But isn't it funny that at the time that was real holiday?
Yeah, that was a holiday.
It was holiday.
No, Gogo's house, was holiday. A holiday.
And for us, it's because Gogo would be making magwenya, would be making
make you tea.
Anything.
And she wouldn't
the
judge you for how
mom,
much sugar you put in your tea. You're just there 7, 8.
Ours would let us sip beer and say, don't tell your mother. From at bedtime.
Gangsta Gogo.
Gangsta Gogo.
Fast.
She'd be like, when you paw, you don't hold the glass upright, you tilt it.
Oh, you learned that early, eh?
Yes, wow. I did. Oh, okay, wow. So you have obviously a story that so many South Africans can connect to, a story that I think they continue to give hope, because it's not like they still aren't people in rural areas who don't have access to your Model C school.
Yeah.
There are still people who, like you say, said in your clip with the rural accent approaching, hello, nice.
Yeah.
Do lekker dung.
But it's not about changing South Africans. It's about making people who feel on the outside feel normal. And if I can tell my story honestly, someone out there will feel normal.
Yes.
Someone else out there will go, oh, so my upbringing wasn't strange. I wasn't a weirdo. I was just different, or, you know, someone else went through the same thing, or I can go from the village to my dreams in the future. So I'm not necessarily here trying to, change anyone.
Yeah.
I'm going, you're all part of this great country and continent that we have. And you, in the words of the great philosopher, I forget her name, your story is valid. Your dreams are valid. Ah, yes. Lupita Nyong'o. Your dreams are valid.
Okay, I'm
your
down.
Your dreams are valid.
I'm down. I'm down for that. I'm thinking to myself about, you know, there are times where comedians have had to apologize. Is there anything that you say you're not going to approach that subject matter in any way? Because there are those times where people are like, yo, too soon. You know, is there a subject matter that you're like, you're not going to go there at all? And maybe because it's something you're really passionate about or something that you take very seriously.
As an art form, it's not about the what. So I'm not going to say this is what you can't do. For me, all art is not about the what. It's about the how. Mm. How did you do that?
Mm.
So if you're going to attack a subject, it's how did you attack that subject? For instance, tonight our subject is on the ANC. It's weird to go, how are we going to go into this?
Mm.
Like, they're on the news every day. They are, you know, 80% of the news that we get in this country.
And you guys know Parliament TV probably has more ratings than Comedy Central.
As a comedy station, strictly, yes. especially fight nights. Those are the best.
I'm always like, he's going to win. I've got my money on him. Throw the chair.
So it's the subject matter. I think everything should be talked about. Because as soon as something is slipped underneath the carpet, that's when it's become sordid. That's when people feel weird about it and don't know how to confront it and don't know how to normalize their experience of that thing. So it's not about saying you can't talk about this entirely.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how do you talk about it. I, as an artist, have to come out with a skill where I go, I'm so good at this thing that I can make this hard subject palatable for you to ingest. Yeah.
Hey, such a big word, palatable.
Model C. I did mention this.
Hey, he learned. He didn't just eat rama and peanut butter. He learned. Okay, so you, as a person, as a comedian, which were some of the comedians you grew up to? And I know that We don't speak often about our local comedy shows. Oh. We speak a lot about your Richard Pryors. We speak a lot about, you know, who did
the
you
Pierre
grow
Monati
up on?
Show.
Hello! I still go to
the Pierre Monati
Fat Joe, and I'm like, I remember that skit.
Oh, I cannot tell you the joy that show brought me. Because I grew up, we had a generator.
Mm-hmm.
And we switched off the generator at 10.
Mm.
Now, if you remember, Pirinati was at 10.
Yeah.
So we'd be sitting there hoping our parents don't wake up while the generator's on, just so we could watch the Pirinati show on a Friday night. That was the best part of my week, seeing sketches of people who look like me doing something I saw in Living Color. And I was like,
yes.
Oh, we can do that too. And
I felt that way when I saw Brooke and Ridge kissing. I thought only white people did that. And I was like, we can do that too.
Ah, that's funny. So yeah, that was that Pierre Monati and that whole crew. They were, I think you can count a whole generation of comics who are on now, who are comedians because of that show and that generation of comedians. For me, it was a huge thing doing Bantu Hour with Kagiso Lidiga.
Oh.
I was like, I'm doing a sketch show with the guy I was watching doing a sketch show when I was in high school.
When lighting I tell him that, the generator.
Yeah. When I tell him that, he hates it because it makes him feel old. I was like, yeah, I watched you when I was a kid.
You must know. So for you, who have you met that we might know that you're like, this should be a comedian? Because I know some seriously, I'm going to expose them. Zwai Bala is one of the funniest guys ever. Like,
really,
he will take the simplest thing that makes no sense. He will take somebody walking and turn it into the longest joke where you're laughing, you know, from your stomach and there's tears
when you want
rolling
them to stop.
I wish Zwai could be a comedian. He's so funny.
Oh, we'll get him on Comedy Central next time for that.
There you go. I'll give you the numbers and expose him myself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, please do.
Okay. Zwai Bala's really funny. Who's funny that you think could be a comedian? Should be a comedian.
Who's a celebrity?
Somebody that we can possibly know and relate to.
So I have very, 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 very funny friends, but they're not famous yet.
They're gonna be
famous.
Via you.
Let's put a peg on that one, and I'll think of it, and I'll give you an answer.
What about, you know who I think is actually funny that could do it? I think Joe, Fat Joe, is funny.
Oh, but Fat Joe, through and through.
Like,
yeah, he's hella funny.
He is
hilarious.
Oh my
goodness.
I've
seen Fresh do stand up. And I was like,
what?
I like that.
When did Fresh do stand up?
We convinced him to do stand up at the Goliath Comedy Club. Oh, it was so much fun.
We're phoning him.
Oh. Oh yeah.
And it's that voice. Okay. You know.
Yeah.
And that laugh, that bellow laugh. Okay. We do need to wrap up the conversation, but still in conversation with the new African correspondent for The Daily Show, Loyiso Madinga. Loyiso, what time is this thing happening? Like, I'm going to be there, like, standing
9:30, girl, 9:30. The show starts at 9:30. Please tune into channel 122 on your DSTV. And
or sneak
Comedy
into
Central.
Your neighbor's yard and watch their channel 122
That's
on
how
DSTV.
We grew up. Don't act like, I don't have to tell people that. Some people are like, okay, so we're going to Maki's house tonight. Okay.
Yes.
The show is going to be blazing. Please support it, because we want to do more and more of this. And if there's a good reception, and we think there'll be a good reception because the piece is great. Tonight.
Okay.
Tonight, 9:30.
On
channel
Comedy.
122 on Comedy Central.
That guy must be making so much money.
Do you know who that is?
Who? Don't wait. No. No. Who is it?
Do you want to know? Do you want to keep the mystery?
Tell me who it is.
Do you want to know?
Tell me.
It's a lotto guy.
It's the same guy.
Yeah.
Nimrod
Nkosi.
The reason I'm laughing is because I tried to make him do a voice for one of my shows, and he's like, I don't do voices.
Because he's got one voice, and it's this one. Come to 702. Tune in today.
I want him to. Please, can we get Nimrod to record a hype for my early breakfast show? It's the early breakfast show. With Glow Glamour.
Today.
Okay, so.
So tonight.
Tonight.
Tonight, 9:30 on channel 122 DSTV Comedy Central.
Where do we follow you? Because I see ministers are tweeting you. I'm like, on that level.
I mean, hello, 2018. Loyiso Mateng on all platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I am all on it.
What in your life do you not want no one to know?
What? Why would I say that on radio? What?
It's just me and you.
Oh, sure it is.
What do you want to know? What do you want no one to know about your life and why?
That my nickname as a kid was Makanda Sbozo. And that's all we have for you today. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Give a round of applause to the awesomely fabulous Loyiso Mateng. We know you're going to make us proud.
We know the segment
is going to work because that's what we're going to put out into the universe. I know you've got funny vibes, but my vibes are positive vibes.
I don't.
Yours are funny vibes. I've seen
the segment and I love it.
Good.
I'm just hoping everyone loves it.
Everybody will love it. It's going to be so dope. And we're going to be tweeting you at Loyiso Mateng. That's M-A-D-I-N-G-A.
Mateng.
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 Mateng. Mateng.
Hi, Luisi. Mateng. You're your next high. All right, Luisi. Thanks. Bye.
Why do you want us to lose listeners?
That's what, do you know how many remixes white people have given me? White people are like house DJs. They hear your name, but they want the remix.
They want Luisi.
Hi, I'm Loyiso. Hi, Loyiso. Hi, I'm Loyiso. Hey, Luisu. Hi, I'm Loyiso. Hi, Laysan.
Can you imagine I'm really wakili? Do you know how many...
Hi, Susan.
It literally is... No. What's your English name? Like, what do you mean?
Riri. All right, Riri.
And then they go, Rihanna.
I like her song.
Thank you so much. We're going to be following you on social media. Thank you for the loves. Do support him. Channel 122, 9:30 p.m. Tonight, we will be tweeting, we'll be watching, we'll be supporting The Daily Show with Trevor Noah and Loyiso Mateng.
That's actually the title.